What a privilege. What a privilege. I really want to thank the Almighty God for the privilege given to me to complete what we started last week. I want to thank the pastorate once again. I want to thank all the ministers. I pray that the Lord Almighty will give them the grace, or will give us the grace to fulfill the heaven mandates in the name of Jesus. You know, it is a privilege to be in His presence, because, and not just to be in His presence, to also function in His presence. One thing is to be in His presence, another thing is to function in His presence. When our prophets and prophetess were giving message on Friday, oh my, I was so happy. I said, what kind of a church will give such opportunity for us to use our gift to be a blessing to the world? I expected you to clap for this church. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, can someone remind us the topic we started last week? Can anybody remind us? Thank you, sister.
Men of Shechem.
The men of Shechem. Is she correct? If she's correct, clap for her. This is a class. Yes. The men of Shechem. That is what we are looking at. Praise God. Before we go into what we have today, last week we talked about two characters. Do you remember? We talked about the character of who? The character of Gideon. We also talked about the character of whom? Can you shout it together? Can you shout it together? The character of who? Of Abimelech. Praise God. I say praise God. Please, we will not have time to go into what we learned last week. We are going straight to what we have so that we will truly complete this today. Praise God. Your amen is not encouraging. Are we hungry this morning? Even if you are hungry, praise God. This hour we want to eat. You know, in Bible Club, we did something strange yesterday. We did not say it is time, you know, to study, to read the Bible, to, you know, we use the word, it is time to eat. Praise God. And every true Christian, every true child of God should know that when the word of God is going on, it's eating time. Let those that are ready to eat shout hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, open your Bible. Judges chapter 9, verse 6. Judges chapter 9, verse 6. In Judges chapter 9, verse 6, I'm waiting for you to open. I want us to read it together. What did he say? And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Neo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Let's read it again. Gather together, and what? And all the house of Milo went and what? And made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Praise God. I say praise God. Oh, are we ready to learn this morning? If you are ready to learn this morning, I say praise God. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at two characters today. We are going to look at who are the men of Shechem. And who is Jotham? Jotham, yeah. These are the two we are going to look at this morning. And I want you to pay a serious attention, because I see this scripture to be very timely. I see this topic to be a topic that the Lord really wants us to what? To learn something from. I was praying after the vigil yesterday in the church. And when I was praying and meditating over this, the Lord spoke to me. You know, when I said the Lord spoke to me, it's different from the way He speaks to Prophet Benjamin and the rest of them. I hope you know. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, what do you want to achieve from this topic? What do you really want to achieve? I quickly reminded him. He said, daddy,
When we were studying the book of Judges, you cooking this topic to me. You minister, there was a burden the Lord dropped in my spirit while we were studying the book of Shechem. And to be sincere with you, the book of Judges, when we are studying the book of Judges, that Shechem or the morning of Shechem, that was the first time I heard that word. So that topic dropped in my spirit. And I know there is something the Lord wants to teach us through this. I quickly told the Lord, I said, Father, I want the people of God all over the world to understand that we live in a generation where we are not expected to celebrate, to support, or to do anything that someone is doing or in the name of God that is contrary to the scripture. That is the whole scenario. That is all I want to achieve today. I want to bring you to a point, to a state, to understand that we live in a generation where people have left God and they are following the pastor. We live in a generation where people have left church or what God says concerning his church and they are following the church of men. We live in a generation where people have left the teachings of the apostles and they have clung to what? To the teachings and the doctrines of men. And God is not happy because none of these people have the ability or were able to die for you. So Jesus was the only one who has what it takes to die for you. And therefore, we are expected to be in full support on what the scriptures say and not what the men of God say that contradict the scripture. Now, give me that Judges chapter 9, verse 6. Now, let's learn something. Now, take notes. And all the men of Shechem gathered together. Underline that word, gathered together. See, leave that scripture on the screen. And all the men of Shechem gathered together. Church, what did they gather to do? Shout it together. They gathered together to make who? To make Abimelech king. Church, I want to ask you, is Abimelech qualified to be a king? Shout it. Abimelech was not qualified to be a king. That means that the men of Shechem gathered to call evil good. Oh. They gathered together to call what? Evil good. Who was evil? Abimelech. Give me Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. Isaiah 5 verse 20. What did he say? And woe unto them that do what? That call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for what? For light. And light for what? For darkness. That put bitter for sweet. And bitter and sweet for bitter. So that was the primary purpose why the men of Shechem gathered. They gathered to call evil good. And God hates it. God does not like it. God wants we Christians to understand that the generation we are, it is a generation that when we see evil, we say it is evil. When we see good, we say it is good. When we see something sweet, we say it is something sweet. We are not permitted in any circumstance to turn evil good. Praise God. I want you to, while I'm taking this, put your picture or put your mind on what is going on in the body of Christ. In a situation where a man of God, it is not something that is lie. It is popularly known and it's a proven fact that the man of God, that the Christian have done this, have done that, and which we have seen that is contrary to the scripture. Instead of that man or that Christian to go through repentance, we will see some people still celebrating him to be their papa, to be their Jew. This is an error in our generation. Praise God. They did not only gather to call Abimelech evil, they also gather for the purpose of war. In fact, that their gathering made them an ungodly. They were there to give an ungodly counsel. Their counsel, their celebration was ungodly. How do I know? In Psalm 1 verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 1. We'll read some scripture before we go deeper. It says, blessed is the man that doeth what? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the what? Of the scornful. Blessed are we Christians that we are not in support. Blessed are the bride of Christ that they are highly intoxicated with truth. And when they see where things, where people gather together to give a wicked counsel, an ungodly counsel, we that call ourselves Christian should be frowned at it. Praise God. We should be frowned at it. Now this they did make this man of Shechem. We also saw something in that their gathering, that they also gathered to make Abimelech their king. That is to say, they choose a leader without God. God was not involved in their choice. God was not involved in what they have come to do. Church, I don't know whether I'm correct. The Bible says they gathered together to make who? Abimelech king. Was God involved in that? Was God choosing Abimelech to be a leader? He was not choosing to be a leader. So what was the purpose why these people gathered? They primarily gathered to tell God, we are not interested in your leadership. We are not interested on who you have called to lead us to the truth. What we are interested is, we are interested in Abimelech as long as Abimelech is from our tribe. As long as Abimelech is from my village, as long as Abimelech is my brother, whatever he's saying, whatever he has done, is none of my business. And when you do that, you are simply telling God, I am okay with my choice or the choice I have made. And God is not interested in anyone who downplay his word. He's not interested. What is interested are men and women who understand that there's a need to do what? To choose or to be in a place that I've been chosen by God. And let me quickly announce to you, without favoritism or without anything, our daddy in the Lord is one of the Moses of our time. Praise God. Now look at what the Bible say. In what? There is something the Bible say in Hosea chapter 8 verse 4. In Hosea chapter 8 verse 4. Hosea 8 verse 4. What did he say? He said they have what? They have set up kings. Who was the king they set up? Oh, shout it now. Who was the king they shout up? Shout it together. Abimelech. He said they have set up kings. They have set up pastors. Now, how do I know that you have set up a pastor? It is through your support. It is through you sitting down in that church where you know that everything they are doing in that church is contrary to the scripture. At that point, you have set up a king. Oh, you have set up a king. Let's finish up that scripture. He said, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and of their gold, have they made them what? Idols. They have made Abimelech their idol. That if you say anything, they are ready to kill you. I have come to realize that at times when you are speaking against or saying something that a pastor have done that is not right, the pastor may not have interest on you. But who are those that will have interest on you? The members. The members can even kill you in the absence of your pastor, in the absence of their pastor, just to protect their pastor image. Oh, this generation is very deadly. And you can also go further to also see that these men of Shechem, we see them after they have chosen a leader without God, we also see that what they have chosen, they like it. They like Abimelech. If they don't like Abimelech, they wouldn't have chosen Abimelech. Now, if you look at the Bible tells us something in Micah chapter 3, verse 11. In Micah chapter 3, verse 11. What did he say? He said what? The heads therefore judge for what? Now, the heads therefore judge for what? Judge for reward. So they did not just make Abimelech their kings. They also made Abimelech their what? Their king because of what? Of reward. Because of what they will gain from making Abimelech their king. That is why in life, or we that call ourselves children of God, we must pray against poverty. We must pray against anything that is contrary to the salvation of our soul. You know why? A man of God or a Christian who has what it takes will not corner, will speak the truth, no matter whatever it will cost. Because why? He is not interested on the what he will gain from you. He's not interested on what he will gain from you. But when you look at the responsibilities that are ahead of you, there's some certain things that are ahead of you, you will bend corner just because there are things. But I prophesied over your life, as many of you that want to live a better Christian life and something is weighing you down, the Lord, after this message, it will be taken away from you. The Bible says, these people, give me that scripture. Look at what it says. It said, the heads, therefore, judge for reward. And the priest, therefore, teach for what? For hire. And what? And the prophet, therefore, divine for what? For money. Yet we dare not learn what? Upon the Lord and say, he's not the Lord among us, nor evil come upon us. You can see, this is what we saw that the men of Shechem exhibited. But Christian, let me ask us, are we to be in support of making Abimelech king? I can't hear you. We can't. We should not. The reason why we should not is because there is a foundation that has been laid already. There is a foundation that has been laid. All I'm trying to make it understand that what the men of Shechem did, we are trying to link it to the New Testament, making you to understand that the men of Shechem, they're supposed to know that there are divine orders, there are due orders in selection of a king. And they left the divine order and they decided to go on their own. Why? For some reasons that we have seen. So make it to understand that there is only one foundation. And that foundation has already been built. It has already been completed. Any additional to it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. How do I know? In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. What did he say? In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. He said what? He said, and are built upon what? Upon the foundation of the apostles. We are built upon the foundations of the apostles. We are built upon the divine order of Gideon becoming a king. Any other foundation that is contrary to the apostles, we will not behave like the man of Shechem. We will reject it. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I don't know whether you understand being the chief cornerstone. Meaning that the apostles, all they said, all they have spoken to us was not by their own selves. So they were trying to look at, because before you go to erecting a building, the first thing you will do is to look for an engineer. Am I correct? Or better still, you look for an architect who will do the architecture work before the building can commence. Am I right? Once you have gotten an architect who will do the architecture work, then you need to get what? An engineer. Engineer will come there and do some survey and all that. And after everything, you must not go outside of what the engineer or the architect have prescribed. It is what they have told you to do. That is what you will do in laying the blocks, in putting or doing whatever you want to do. Because if you make any attempts to go outside of what they have given you, you will see that the building will bend. The building will bend. And any building that has bent will certainly fall. And when we therefore, there will fall, when Jesus will come, you will see that truly this building that was erected was not of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. He says something. He said, for other wall, for other foundation, can what? Can no man lay. For other foundation, can no man lay. That is what? Oh. For other foundation, can no man lay. That is lay, which is Jesus Christ. The men of Shechem, they made an attempt to lay another foundation. They made an attempt to what? To lay another foundation that is contrary to already laid down foundation. Why do we call ourselves Christians? Why do we call ourselves believers? Why do we call ourselves children of God? And we comfortably stay in a place where everything they do is contrary to the scripture. Has anybody taken alcohol before? Has anybody taken alcohol? Has any brother taken alcohol before? Bro, give him mine. Let me ask him a question. Praise God. As our brother is standing up, celebrate him now. Celebrate our brother. Praise God. Praise God. Brother, all the men that are sitting, all of us, we have taken it to. You are bold enough to stand up. Maybe they are shy, including myself. To a point that the one I took, I was lining down inside gutter. You get it? You know, in Delta State, our favorite wine is called, should I mention it? You know that? You call it water. You don't call it. Just say water. Sapele water. That is what we take. Praise God. I say praise God. Brother, when you take that alcohol, what happens? What happens? It intoxicates, am I right?
Yes.
It intoxicates you. They will tell you that there is something you are what? You have taken. So when, thank you, because of time. When a Christian, when a child of God have come to the knowledge of this, we make every attempt to understand that the truth you have received should intoxicate you. You cannot say you are an eaglet or you are an eagle. You are comfortably staying in a place where chickens are. It's an error. It is an error. The reason why you are comfortably there, it may be because you are immature or maybe because you are not born again. You can't tell me you are born again. You have grown to a state of knowing what the scripture say. You are still comfortable. No, because born again means that you are born by the word. The Bible says we are born of corruptible word, not of corruptible seed, but what? But of incorruptible seed. What I'm trying to make it understand is that you must be in alignment with the foundation that's already been laid. Why? Because what laid the foundation is the Holy Ghost. So if the Holy Ghost is one that laid the foundation, and it's the Holy Ghost you have received, that Holy Ghost will not allow you to lay another foundation. Hallelujah. So who are the men of Shechem? Let's run it. Now, look at it. Who are the men of Shechem? They supported Abimelech after killing his brothers. They supported Abimelech after he killed his brothers. They represent those who reject truth and embrace error. Let's go further. Praise God. Oh, this is not where we are. This is not what we are reading, please. Oh. Praise God. I say praise God. And this is what we are. Now, the sin of the men of Shechem was that they enthroned Abimelech. They enthroned Abimelech. Their sin was that they celebrated what God has what? Has rejected. Take note. They knew the blood on his hands, yet they gathered around him. Let's go further. This is the danger of a generation that celebrates what? Underline that. Or later you can go to that. We live in a generation where what? Where charisma is being celebrated above character. We live in a generation where gifts are being celebrated above truth. We also live in a generation where popularity, because that pastor is popular, he is popular is not an evidence that he has the word. He is CEO, general overseer, is not an evidence that he has the word. Because if they truly have the word, with their popularity, a man of God will not tell you that what happened in Genesis chapter 3 is that Adam ate his tithes. How can a well-popular pastor, a well-known pastor, say that what Adam ate was his tithes? And people are in that place. They're celebrating. They worship him. They do all kinds of things to him. These are another set of the men of Shechem. Let's go further. Let's go further. So who are the men of Shechem? Who the men of Shechem are in the word Shechem. Who the men of Shechem are in the word of the word Shechem. One letter S. They were so selfish ambition. They were so selfish ambition. They have a selfish ambition. What was their selfish ambition? Their selfish ambition was what? Was contrary to what the Bible have said. Selfish ambition is a desire to promote self at the expense of truth, righteousness, and others. We can see that in Judges chapter 9, verse 2. We saw that the men of Shechem, they were so selfish to a point whereby they were ready to silence the truth as long as Abimelech is from their family. See, as I'm teaching, don't just take your mind to denomination. Also bring your mind home. Praise God. Also bring your what? Bring your mind home, because it is not only happened in denomination, it also happened in bride. And never you make an attempt, and let me quickly say this, it is so wrong for you as a brother or as a sister, whether in the floor or in the pulpit or anywhere, to make anybody or to decide to bring anybody close to you just because of your selfish aim. Now, that is why if a pastor is a Yoruba man, what happened? 90 or 80% of the people that are going to that church will be what? Oh, respond now. 80 to 90% of that place will be what? Yorubas. If it is owned by Igbo, 80 to 90% will be Igbos. But here at Bride Assembly, it is owned by a man who is not from Igbo, who is not from Yoruba, all the way from Hausa. And 90% of the people that are sitting here, they are Igbos. Let the Igbos say, Kwenu. Praise God. I say, praise God. If you are still lacking, understand that this is truly the church that has been ordained to be a witness to the whole world. You need deliverance. Praise God. I say, praise God. Let's go further. Let's go further. Who are the men of Shechem? The men of Shechem were men whose hearts were drifted. Do you know what I mean by heart being drifted? Heart being drifted is that a drifted heart is a heart that slowly moves away from where? From God's truth, conviction, and righteousness, without realizing how far it has gone. Their hearts were drifted. Their hearts were not, they are not ready. Their heart was anything that has to do with what? With the truth. Their heart is very far from it. And when you come to that point, because why? They are fully aware that this Abimelech killed 70 of his brethren. They are aware. Some of us that are watching me or whatever they are, some of you know that your pastor is evil, but yet you are still there. Why? Because your heart has been drifted. But there is a room to come back. Glory to God. I say glory to God. There is a room to come back. Let's go further. Let's go further. Who are these men of Shechem? Men of Shechem were men who were in evil alignment. They were evil alignment. What is alignment? Evil alignment is joining hands, joining hearts or voices with what God does not support. If a man has a car and you are traveling to east or you want to travel to east, what will they tell you? They will tell you first, go to a place where they will check the alignment of your vehicle. I don't know whether I'm correct. If you know, shout amen. Why would they tell you to go and check the alignment of your tire? It is because if the tire is not in alignment, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. So what the men of Shechem did was to align their supporters. They joined Abimelech. They did everything to ensure that Abimelech become a king.
Children of God, don't be in alignment with evil. Don't be in alignment with evil. No matter how interesting it is, no matter how sweet it is, don't be in alignment with it. You can read it in Judges chapter 9, verse 24, and Amos chapter 3, verse 3. He said, can two walk together except what? Except that they were in agreement with Abimelech, and that is why they made him king. Let's go further. Let's go further.
Who are the men of Shechem? The men of Shechem, let us see, they were what? They were corrupt companionship. They were corrupt companionship. What is corrupt companionship? It is joining yourself with people who are weakening your what? Your convictions. If you have received any conviction that Christ is the only true Son of God, if you have received any true conviction that a woman should not be a pastor, if you have received any true conviction that water baptism should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's any conviction you have received at all about God, then when you come to a place where the men of Shechem are, you may want to join them. And at the process of joining them to do things that are contrary to the scripture, you have simply what? Joined a corrupt companionship. But today, if there's any here, God will bring us out. I say, God will bring us out. I say, God will bring us out. I say, God will bring us out. Shout out amen as if you mean it. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, what did he say? He said, an evil communication, do what? It corrupts good manners. It corrupts good manners. Why will you, a brother, for instance, you are being suspended. Please. Now, let me say, you are being suspended from a church. And after you are being suspended from a church, I hope you know that suspension is biblical. Talk to me now. I hope you know that a member being suspended from the church is biblical. It is in the scripture. It is in the Bible. For a brother, when a brother has done something wrong, to be suspended from the church. But what do you do as a Christian? Do you go to that brother to tell that brother, don't mind that church. This little thing you do, now it make them suspend you. You have joined what we call corrupt companionship. Praise God. Instead of you to be praying for that brother or encouraging that brother, don't worry. After 1 month, after 2 months, they will restore you back to fellowship. But you are simply telling the brother, if I were you, I will not come back to that church. It's an evidence that you don't know your Bible.
Let's see. The next one.
Now, who are the men of Shechem? The men of Shechem, we are what? We have a hardened heart. Give me Judges chapter 9, verse 23. They have a hardened heart. Their heart was hardened. And that is the generation we are. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the world, and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with what? With Abimelech. But before this happened, their heart has already been hardened before they dealt with what? With Abimelech. Their heart was hardened. That is why a Christian, as I said before, is ready to kill you. That brother, that sister is ready to kill you. Because why? You are saying something against their pastor. They are ready to do anything to you. Why? Because they have a hardened heart. Even when they know that what you are saying is true, even when they know that what you are saying is in the Bible, because of the hardiness of their hearts, because of the hardiness of their hearts, they will never want to listen to you. These are the men of Shechem. If they don't have a hardened heart, they couldn't have made Abimelech their king. They couldn't have supported Abimelech. They couldn't have done anything at all that will stand as a praise or recommendation or commendation or approval or whatever to Abimelech. Why? Because they know that Abimelech does not merit it. Abimelech supposed not to be a king.
What's next letter, please? Letter E. Who are the men of Shechem? The men of Shechem were men that we see
the enemy of truth. They were enemy of truth. How do I know they were enemy of truth? An enemy of truth is someone who resists, who suppresses, who attacks or rejects what is right, because truth exposes sin. Truth exposes sin. That's what Jesus said. He said, light has come. But what? But men love darkness more than light. He said, there they do their evils. There they do their atrocity. There they carry out things that do not glorify God. They were enemy of truth. They did everything to shun everyone. Do you know that they also went as far? They went as far of paying, giving Abimelech support financially. They supported Abimelech with money. They did everything to ensure that anything it takes, as long as Abimelech becomes a king, is none of our business. But time shall come, and very soon, everyone will give account of his life. Praise God. Who are the men of Shechem? The men of Shechem were men who ended up in a what? In a miserable end. They ended up in a way that we are going to see as we are coming to the end of this teaching. Miserable end is the painful outcome of a life decision or path that departs from God. Now, we are saying it over and over again. It's just like, for those of you that watch our pastor that will do rapture watch yesterday, there is something Pastor Lumide said that struck my heart. And I began to pray, Lord, show me mercy. I don't know how many of you watch. If you watch the rapture, can you shout amen? Can you shout amen? You know, yesterday rapture watch is about the message he preached. I hope you know. Talk to me now. Yes. Now, there is a two statement he made that struck my heart. And we saw that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. 2 Peter chapter 2, 6 and 7. What did he say? I don't know if I'm right with that scripture. Now, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Into ashes, condemning them with an overthrowing, making them an escape unto those that are after should live ungodly. Look at verse 7. Now, what? Let's see verse 7 together. And delivered just Lot. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Hey, Lot was angry. Then I was telling myself, how can I call myself a Christian? And I'm comfortably watching punk. I'm comfortably watching pornography. Something is wrong. It is something that when I see it, I say, no, Lord, Father, may I never come in contact with it. But Christian comfortably watch it. Why? Because you are not versed in your spirit. Now, not only that, look at verse 7. Let's finish up that scripture. Verse 8. Let me see what verse 8 says. Verse 8. For the righteous man dwelleth among them. For the righteous man dwelleth among them. He made a statement yesterday. He said, when a naked picture pop in your phone, you know, at times, what did you not bargain for? What did you not subscribe for? They come up in your phone. So when they come up in your phone, do you go closer and click or watch it? If you watch it, because we said, I'm quoting him, he said, what most of the things we see in social media, it is all about to get our attention. And the only way that they will get our attention, it is through the eye. It is through what we feel. And the rest. So, devil has people that he has specialized. He has trained them. He has built them to fulfill that mandate. And that is why I'm going to preach on a topic that I title Lost Generation. Now, making it understand that in this generation we are, we must come to a point that anything that is contrary to the will of God should vex our spirits. Should vex us. Not only in saying it in public, but also in our secret places, we should stand for the truth. I should not stand here and preach the truth. And when I go back, I'm doing contrary to it. That means I am not yet versed in my spirit with the truth. If you are getting me, celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. Praise God. Now, you can see that the men of Shechem, I'm running off this topic, the men of Shechem succeeded in making who? Abimelech, their king. And why they were were able to succeed in making Abimelech their king, it is because of these characters that we saw. But can I announce to you, God always have a remnant. Oh, God always have a remnant. Before we show you the remnants, let's see Judges chapter 9, verse 1. Judges chapter 9, verse 1. There is always a remnant in our generation, no matter what. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem. I purposely said I want to come back to this. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren. Hey, the question is, why did he not go to unto his father's brethren? Why must he be his mother's brethren? Because his father's brethren will not agree with him. Oh, the father's brethren were the custodians of Gideon. They know the law. They know how, where, and what to do. They know everything. So he intentionally refused to go to the what? To go to his father's brethren. He went to his mother's brethren, making it understand that this is a generation where those people who claim that are into revival, who claim they are Pentecost, who claim they are did that, time will come. They will go back to their mothers. Oh, and their mother will fully support it. Now, why are they going back to their mother? Because their mother, the Bible referring to be a mother of harlots. He has been drawn with the blood of many nations. No matter who you claim to are, time will come. You will go back to where you've fallen. He will go back to... So Abimelech has to go back to his mother's brethren because he knows his mother's brethren will support him. Are you one of the brethren from the mother's side? Say to yourself, I want to come from the father's side. Say to yourself, I want to come from the father's side. Let's finish up that scripture. Now, his what? His brethren, and commune with them, and with all the family of the house of the mother's father, saying, what did he say? Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which is the one, are 70, that is 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and flesh. Let's read further. And his mother's brethren spake of him the ears of all the men of Shechem. That means there was an enlightened seminar. There was a proposal. There was a teaching. And what was the teaching? Who should we support? Now, and their hearts inclined to who? To follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. And they gave him three score and 10 pieces of silver out of the house of war or barbarians. And with Abimelech, higher vain and light person, which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at what? At Ophrah, and what? And slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70, that is 70 persons. He killed them. Let's go further. Verse 5. Verse 6. Okay, we have read verse 6. Verse 7. There is a remnant. Glory to God. He killed 70 people, and Abimelech thought he had finished them. Oh. Abimelech thought that there is nobody again that will tell people this is the God standard. He thought that all has finished. That was what happened to who? What happened to Elisha? The Bible said that when Elisha that was able to command fire to come down, Elisha was able to do wonders. But when Elisha heard that what Jezebel have done, the Bible said he went and healed himself. And when God came to Elisha, God told Elisha, Elisha, I can see that you are afraid because many have been killed. And Elisha said to the Lord, there is nobody that is remaining. Everybody has been killed. Oh. And the Lord said to Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, the Lord said to Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19, what did he say? Glory to God. I don't know what I'm like with that scripture. Let's see. Praise God. Give me that scripture. Hallelujah. Now, okay, let me quote it offhand. The Bible says, and when God came to Elisha, what did God say to Elisha? He said, yet, thank you. Yet, I have let me. How many? Oh, shout it. How many? I have let me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed. Oh, if you think that you can finish the program of God, God will tell you that place where you end is where my own program starts. That is where my own program starts. He thought that he has killed all, but unknown to Abimelech, that there is a remnant. And that remnant will not join others to do it. That remnant will not join others to kill Abimelech or to support Abimelech. That remnant will come with a message that is contrary to every message. The Bible says, let's see it in verse 7 where we are reading. Look at the remnant. Oh, glory to God. What did he say? And when they told it to who? Shout it. When they told it to who? Jotham. He went and stood in the top of the mountain. That was the top of the word of God. He was standing on the word. He knew the word. And he made a statement. What was the statement? The Bible says he stood in the top of the mountain. And he lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken to me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Verse 8. The trees which went forth, he came with a parable. What was the parable? He said, the tree went forth on a time to anoint a king. So there was a time for the tree to choose who will speak for them, to choose a king. And the tree were knowledgeable enough. What was the response? So the tree come together to make king over. And they said unto the olive tree, the first thing they summon was olive tree. And olive tree say what? They said to olive tree produces what? Oil. They said to olive tree, rain down over us. What was the response of the olive tree? But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fortress with by me, the honor God, a man, and go to promoted over. So the olive tree was saying that I value purpose more than position. You did not hear me. The olive tree say I value purpose. He was after purpose, not position. That was why he refused. If you go further in that scripture, they did not stop on olive tree. They went to fig tree. Fig tree produced fruits. They said to fig tree, rain over all. Fig tree said the same thing. They also went to what? To the vine. What is the work of the vine? To produce wine. The vine said no, but they must get someone. Oh. They must get someone. Why would they get someone? Because there's no truth in them. So if they spoke to olive tree refused. They spoke to fig tree refused. They must continue speaking until they get the right person who will tell them what they will hear. And who is that? They were able to get what? The thorn bush. Now, please give me, IT, please give me the picture of the thorn bush. Give me this. You can see how thorn bush is. Now, give me another picture. This is your turn. Give me another picture. There's another picture. Okay, this is Abimelech. Now you can see. Are you seeing the thorn bush? Are you seeing the thorn bush? Church, talk to me now. You can see it, am I right? See, this guy, this thorn bush, that is tree. You can see there are leaves. This one is even better. There is one you will see, very greenish. You can only see minor stems and all that. This one, you can see that no matter how leaves is in this place, it can never produce anything. No matter how it is, no matter how eloquent they are, no matter how good they are, no matter how wonderful they are, they can never produce souls that will be rapture. Why would they not be able to produce soul that will be rapture? Because the truth is not in them. They do not have the truth. So it is unfortunate for you to gather in a church where your pastor is Tom Bush. It is unfortunate that you come to a church, you gather in a church where your pastor is doing everything contrary to the scripture. You have to be the Jonathan of our time. The Jonathan of our time will say, no, this is not what our father left. This is not what our father said we should do. He will never agree to make Abimelech or support Abimelech to be a king. Why? Because he is aware of whom he is. So, where are the Jotan of our time? Let's see who is a Jotan. As we round up that school, who is a Jotan? Look at it. He's a what? A Jotan is what? He's a hidden. He's very hidden. But a true disciples of Christ. A Jotan is a voice like Micaiah in our generation. Jonathan is a true apostolic voice that will stand and say, this is what the apostles say. Jonathan is a genuine servant of God that will not go contrary to what the Bible says. Jonathan is a spirit-filled believer. Spirit-filled to a point, even when things are going contrary in the word of God, in the department, in the group where he belongs, he will say, no, this is not what the Bible says. Jonathan is a bold Christian. He will not hide it. He will not keep it to himself. He will speak out whether you agree or you don't agree. But can I announce to you that in our generation, the Lord has given us a voice. The Lord has given us a voice. And that is our daddy in the law. That is our daddy in the law. That is the voice that the Lord has given to us. When I say the voice that the Lord is giving to us, I'm not trying to tell you for us to idolize him. No, I'm trying to make it understand that he will always tell us what the Bible says. And anything that is not in the scripture, he will not go for it. He won't go for it. He won't go for it. And we that are the one that is training, we can as well be bold enough. Because we cannot say because he's our daddy in the law, that when he's standing in the pulpit, saying something contrary to the scripture, we will quickly send him a test. Daddy, this thing when you talk, please help us to balance it. Why? Because we are not chickens, we are eagles. And eagles will always behave like an eagle. Because the higher he flies, the clearer he sees. Children of God, are you the Jonathan of our time? In your own closet, in your own level, in your own little place, in your place of work, even in a church, are you the Jonathan of our time? Are you the Jonathan of our time? Why will you keep quiet when you know that in the department where you belong, they are doing something that is contrary to the scripture? Brother, speak. Sister, speak. You have the liberty to speak. Because in bride assembly, we have the liberty of the spirit. But that does not mean that when your leader is going contrary to the scripture, you want to correct him in rudeness. No. Go to him in love. Tell him, brother, sister, this thing you are doing, the Bible is against this. And God will be happy with you. Say to yourself, I'll be the Gideon and the Jonathan of my time. Bow your head and begin to talk to God. Oh, thank you, Father. Bow your head and begin to talk to God. Tell him, Lord, help me. Tell him, Jesus, help me. Help me to be the Jonathan of my time. Help me that I will stand for the truth. No matter whatever it will cost me.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth alone. To be like name we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. If you have been blessed by the Sunday school, do something to indicate that you are blessed. Be on your feet if you don't mind and worship the Lord with your hands again. Hallelujah. The truth is, if you are a believer of what we stand for in this church, you're already part of the army of Gideon. That is the truth. Because it's not everyone that can be part of a ministry like this. Because part of the end time sign is that the so-called believers will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. And one of the reasons they will not endure sound doctrine is because the cross will be too heavy for them to bear. As Christ is drawing nearer, the cross will be getting heavier for the believers. But always remember that he promised us he will not leave us alone. So tell everybody around you, it is well, it is well. Tell everybody, cheer.